It's quite humbling to be here with you guys, and it's amazing to have Dutch guys here. In July and August, we had a group of 13 guys from the Netherlands there in Marondera, and it was amazing. The guys were really such a blessing to us. So it's amazing to have such a big group of people here. Do we have any Zimbos here? Come on, man. The glory is here, guys. Come on. Yeah, so it's amazing to be here, guys. It's such a blessing for us to be here. This year has been such so many tests in so many ways, and God just, you know, working in our hearts as we try to do things right and try to hear the Lord in what we're doing. And it's been really humbling. It's really been humbling to see how jealous God is for His bride, and that He's serious about His bride, and to see how God work in and through people and set people free. When we joined at the end of August last year, we had 18 people in the congregation, and we're strong over 100 at the moment. Just how the Lord has been adding to our numbers, and there's really amazing things happening in Marondera that is far above us. It's just amazing to see how God uses broken people to do His work. It just is mercy and His kindness. And often we want to place ourselves at a certain point before we start stepping out in boldness, start stepping out in obedience. But the Lord just wants a surrendered heart that's obedient to His voice. And I want to talk about that this morning. I really want to share with you guys what it is to live a life in complete surrender and complete obedience to the Lord. Because often we can do this thing. I've been here before we came to Sunningdale. We were in Stellenbosch for 9 years. And then you have outreach opportunities, like some of the guys are out this morning. And then when you're on outreach, you all of a sudden step out more and you do more. And because you know that you are sent to do things. And something that the Lord taught me and that I actually really felt conviction about is I've sat in pews here and I've sat in chairs for so many years and not being obedient because I'm part of something and other guys are stepping out. And now the Lord sent us to Zim and I had to step out. I couldn't not because we're leading the congregation there. It would be weird if I don't step out there. So for many years, I've done this thing of church well, and yes, we've led worship and communities and things like that, but you almost fall into this comfortable place of just attending church and attending community and doing life, but not being intentional with having a life surrendered fully to the Lord. And that's something the Lord has taught me this year. What does it mean to be fully surrendered? A few years ago at the gathering, Andrew said, anyone who's willing to go out to the nation, stand up. That's like a couple of years ago, and I stood up, and there's so many people standing up, not really knowing what I'm putting my hand up for. And then when the call came, it was like a reality check. You know, often we'll confess things and don't walk it out. Often we say the right things because I think in our hearts we want to do it. I think we really want to do it. But there's a difference between just confessing and actually manifesting what you are saying and walking out in obedience. And we find that I found this year, as soon as you start stepping out in obedience, you really need to kill the thing of the fear of a man. Okay. The fear of man stops us from doing so many things for the Lord. And I had that. Oh, my hat. I mean, I have a little bit of it now, standing in front of you guys, to be honest. But it's amazing how the Lord taught me that when you have the fear of man in your life, you fear everything else. But when you have the fear of the Lord, you fear nothing. There's a boldness that comes on us when we start fearing the Lord. You know, Scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding who He is. And when we start understanding who He is, you really don't care what people think and say. Because we see Him truly for who He is. And there's a boldness that comes over us when we do that. Because when we start obeying the Lord, it's not about pleasing people. You know that. The Lord, nowhere in the Bible the Lord says, let's please people and make them happy. Nowhere it says that. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then love your neighbor. And then because you're here to obey him, you love one another. But that love doesn't mean pleasing people. You know, we've never been called to please people. We've been called to obey God. We've never been called to tick certain boxes to make sure that my leader is satisfied with me now. We are called to a place of surrender, to fully give ourselves in obedience so that God can use us in his kingdom. We are the body of Jesus. And how many years have I sat down? I mean, some things that happened this year, I was like, Lord, did you use us to do this? It's like, I will not forget where I came from, eh? The suffering that we had, I will not forget that because it keeps us low. But man, I will not hold nothing back anymore for Jesus. So there's this thing of obedience starts with hearing God's voice. And there's a beautiful scripture. I don't know if you guys, my wife never said this to me. She's never said this to me. But I don't know if your husbands, if your wife has ever said to you, listen, I'm talking to you and you're hearing that I'm speaking, but you're not listening to what I'm saying. Is it? My wife has never said that to me. But there's this thing, is often we hear the Lord through so many people. And we hear the Lord in church and community and things like that, but we don't listen. And in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5, you guys are fast. It says, listen, O Israel. Now, that word listen means, in the Hebrew, the original Hebrew translation says, Shema, which means to listen with attent, to listen, to give attention to the listening, to understand what is being said right now in order for us to respond and obey with what's being said next. That's the word Shema that's being said. So it says, listen, listen. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Listen with the intent to understand what God is saying to us. Listen to his voice with the intent of responding to his voice and not just hearing his voice so that we can almost feel that I used to just tick the box to say that, you know, I'm doing the right things. But there is a step of obedience that we need to do. And we can do it because we can trust God's character. We can trust that God is faithful. And often God will call us to things, and because we heard his voice and we have the very word that brings faith, we can trust that God is faithful and true. And then we act on his commands. Love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor. Bless your enemies. That's an easy one, eh? Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. And then it says, so you are not free to carry out good intentions. You know, that thing hit me hard. Because I've been in Josh Den for so many years, I've seen how leaders do things for such a long time. Guys that's fully devoted to the Lord and his kingdom and his bride. But I can't copy that and just paste it in my rondera and think, okay, no, that's a good thing to do. It says, because you're being led by a spirit, you're not actually allowed to carry out your good intentions. So often we'll do things without being led by a spirit, and then we'll tick the box to think that we're actually obedient. But we actually miss what God is doing because we think that our good intentions is actually in a better place of listening to his voice. There's a thing of listening to the Lord and obeying. That's all we need to do. Like, Lord, you allowed me to wake up this morning. Thank you. Tell me what to do today, Lord. I don't want to do anything out of good intentions, Lord. I want to do everything by being led by you. Everything must be by being led by you, Lord. And when we do that, when we step out in obedience, we need to have faith. Oh, my hat. We need to have faith, people. We were challenged in our faith so many times. Sorry, I spit, but you guys are in a safe range. Yeah, I'll keep my distance. Okay. Oops. So that's why my wife's sitting there. We were tested this year so many times in our faith. You know how many times the Lord... So when we went to Marundera, they had so many church splits in that town. So many church splits. So almost everyone that's joining your congregation has been a previous leader somewhere in a church. And everyone knows everything about church. That's the reality. Because everyone were leaders before. Now, I'm praying the week because I, like, Lord, what do I teach on Sunday? Like, what do I share? And the one day the Lord said to me, share on the importance of belonging to the body. Talk about church membership. So I said, the morning I woke up, I was like, yes, the Lord spoke to me. I went to the first guy. I was like, yeah, but I'm busy preparing on church membership and belonging to the body. But I'm so excited. That guy's like, no, don't share that in Marundera. Don't go there, bro. This is not a safe space. And I was like, but God told me, where do I go now? Because the Lord, I really feel the Lord spoke to me about it. And then I went to the next guy. Whoa, no, not the Marundera, bro. If you know the history of this town. But you have to understand, God clearly spoke to me and said, talk about membership and belonging to the bride. Five people in 2 days warned me that all the people will just leave the church again. Five people. And this is guys who's been part of leadership before. This is guys who's actually got quite a lot of influence in Marundera. But God said, talk about this. So I was like, guys, you know, I love you so much, but I'm not here to please you, eh? I'm here to listen to him and just to obey him. It was scary. And I prepared. And it was like, you know, sure. He loves his bride so much. So as I sit, it feels like the Holy Spirit downloads from how he's a master builder and how he builds, and he knows what he's doing and he's intentional. And I prep for Sunday, and man, I prayed. And I said to the two elders, guys, we have to pray. Oh, I've been warned by so many, but we have to pray. God spoke. And I shared, and the whole church responded. We are called to obey. Because our obedience demonstrates that we love the Lord. Jesus said, John 14 verse 15 says, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Put him first. And then he will call you to places that's shaky and difficult. But man, you'll experience his power like never before because you obey him. Obedience also shows that we know the Father. Obedience shows that we know the Father because we don't think in a worldly way anymore. We are being transformed into a new way. Now, all of a sudden, God is telling you to do certain things that's not the norm. because obedience will often go against the norm. You know, the word is totally against the world system. The other day I did a comparison between the world system and the word, and like everything is thrown out. So if you just obey the word, you're already totally against the world system. Totally against it. But it says that if you obey him, you know him. 1 John 2, verse 1 to 4 says, "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. Not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments." How beautiful is that? If someone claims, this is how scary this is. If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. It's scary to think about that. You know, this was written to the church. If we claim that we know him, but we don't obey him, we're lying. It's weighty. I'm sorry, guys. And you know, Jesus modeled perfect obedience. It was so beautiful. John 5, from verse 9. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself." This is Jesus. And he acknowledges he can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. And then Jesus said, 10 chapters later, John 15 verse 5, "Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." And then it says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Your good intentions means nothing. You being led by a spirit means that you are remaining in the person of Jesus. "For apart from me, you can do nothing." We cannot be bold in our abilities and our giftings. We can only be bold in what Jesus has done on the cross and obey him as he leads us day by day. Are you guys still all right? You look very concerned. It's quiet. Bessie's not here. We're taking notes. You know, the scary thing is we should obey God immediately. Obedience isn't something that you work into. Obedience is an act of faith with immediate effect. It's not something that you work towards. Yes, sanctification is something. Holiness is something that you work towards. Obedience is something that's being acted out right now. Because if we say we know him, but we don't obey now, then we actually not walking in the truth. And that's the scary thing that hit me for over the years here in Josh 10 is the amount of years that I sat there and I thought, because I'm just a part of what God is doing, yes, that's very important, but I'm talking about me personally. Man, I feel I've missed it so many times. God used broken people. God used willing hearts, surrendered hearts for his kingdom. That's just the beauty of it. And we should even obey God when it doesn't make sense. When the people told me, "Don't pray, or don't share about this." You know how many times I've actually shared on things that people told me not to share on? And man, God is moving. Oh my hat. And you're almost like sharing and waiting for the club. You know when you tell someone something and you're waiting for that guy to, club means slap. Just so that the Dutchies know. Translation there. And this is what happens is, I'll give you an example of something that doesn't make sense, but Jesus did it. Okay, I've read this over and over and I just picture it in my mind. John 9 verse 6 to 7. Listen out to this. Okay. This man was born blind, so the disciples asked Jesus, is it because of his sin or the sin of his parents? And Jesus said, no, it's none of that. It's because of God's glory that's going to be shown through this guy. And then he does this. Then he spit on the ground. Think, guys, just picture this quickly for a moment. You're standing in front of Jesus. You've seen miracles. And then he says, this is so that the glory of God can be shown. I can see our guys standing in the queue to get healed. And at that moment, they start stepping back. And they're like, I'll be healed. He spit in the grave, made mud with his saliva. And then he took that and spread it over the blood. I can't even say it. Often God tells us to do things that doesn't make sense. That's why it requires a lot of faith. Okay. Because that's weird for me. If someone starts spitting around. In dispatch, that's how you get clapped. If you do things like that. But often God calls you to do things that doesn't make sense. But Jesus said, I only do whatever I see my Father do. I only do that. I mean, who would have guessed of the disciples that Jesus is going to throw a ghillie into the ground now and put mud on the eyes? Think of that. Hey? And often we will obey God and you'll never see the benefit. You'll never see the outcome or the fruit of your obedience. Often you'll do that. Often God will tell you to do something and you'll never see the outcome of that. You'll never see the fruit of that. Because obedience has nothing to do with you seeing the reward of that. You'll get your reward in heaven. Instead, Jesus said that if you get your reward here on earth, you've received your reward. So with obedience, we can't do it in order for people. And often when we have an orphan spirit like I had for many years, you'll do things so that Kim can see you doing it. Thank you, Kim. But we need to do things without wanting to see the outcome of it. We need to do it because we love Him. And He's speaking to us and He's telling us to do something. And because we know Him, we're like, Father, I'll do it for you. Even if I'm rejected by this or persecuted, I'll do this. You know, we had a case, a hectic case, and I phoned Kim, and where another leader had a relationship with another church. He's leading another church. He had a relationship with another lady 8 or 10 years ago. So it came out into the light. Now I know that another church leader has still not brought this thing into the light. I just moved to Zimbabwe, guys. So I'm thinking like, what do I do? Kim. It's a different, completely, thank you, Kim, for the recording. It's a totally different church movement. Okay. So this oak, eventually I contacted him, and he's heard that we moved to Marandera. So he's excited. And I was like, bro, I want to see you for a coffee. And he's delaying the coffee. Eventually, I type him a letter to say, so this is what the coffee is about. I found out. And then all of a sudden, he phones me to say, him and all his elders will see me. So I'm like, bro, are you sure you want to bring your elders with? Are you sure you want to do this thing? And he's like, yes. So they come and sit in the coffee, by the coffee shop. And I said to him, Bruce, so this thing has come into the light. You had a sexual relationship with a lady in your congregation, and you've never brought it into the light. So he said to me, yes, now I repented of it now, and they know now, the elders know. And I said, no, you didn't repent. I brought it into the light. You're forced to say it now. You know how those leaders stood up against me? Eventually, they argued with me, and I said to them, you know, this is not your church. We're going to stand before Him. Oh, my head, bro. I'm begging you, just give your heart over to Jesus now. Eventually, his whole apostolic team sent me a message to say that I'm wrong. He repented. What should he do now? But you see what happens. Often God brings us to places where we have to confront the truth with people. And we can choose to avoid it or do it. Because we love Jesus. And we love his bride. And we're not called to please people. We're called to love people. And he never brought it into the light in front of his church up until today. That church is chaotic at the moment. It's sad. We're praying for them as a church. Because we want repentance to come to the church. And that's what we try to explain to the leaders. Guys, if you just lay yourself down, deny yourself like Jesus said you should. Oh my God, God can bring revival. He can bring so many salvations. He can redeem you guys. Come on, man. No, you don't know what you're talking about. Because we build our own kingdoms. And we need to obey God, even if it's painful. Philippians 2, verse 7 to 8 says, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. This is Jesus. And you know, before he died, he said, Lord, please let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will, Lord. The heart of obedience. Not my will, Lord, but your will. You know, every morning I wake up now and I'm like, Lord, I just want to obey you today, Lord. I just want to obey you. Lord, show me where I miss it. You know, the greatest work the Lord has done that I've seen this year has been in my family. And often, we obey God to a certain measure. I want to read 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. Now go and completely destroy. This is now the Lord speaking to Saul, King Saul. The entire Amalekite nation. Did I say that right? Lord. Men, women, babies, children, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. Go and destroy everything. So Saul took 200,000 men and they went to war. So they obeyed God. They killed everything. So they stepped out. God gave the instruction. God gave the commandment. He said, go and do this, and they went. But listen now. Then Samuel got there, and Samuel said, Saul, what did you do? It's like, no, we went to war. And then Samuel said, but why am I hearing the bleating of the sheep? And this was his response. But I did obey God. Sorry, 1 Samuel 15, verse 20 to 23. Just you on it. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord, your God in Gilgal. So Saul did go. He did kill people. What a traumatic experience that had to be, to kill children and babies and women. He went all out. The only thing he did not kill the king, and he brought some of the cattle back. And often we'll obey the Lord on our terms. God will tell us to do certain things, and man, I've been tested in this. God will tell us to do certain things and then we'll almost shape our obedience and our response to a certain way that pleases us because of our heart intentions. When the Lord says, forgive someone, and then we'll say, oh Lord, I'll forgive partially, but I'll never forget what they did. That's my terms. God says, forgive. Yes, I'll do it to a certain measure. I'll obey God, but I'm not ready to let go of this thing. Partial forgiveness is sin. It's disobedience. then God says, go and reconcile with people. Go and make right. You know, when we refuse reconciliation, we refuse the very work that Jesus did on the cross. Because that was for reconciliation. And then he says, go and reconcile. And then we say, but I'll wait until they come to me first. Because they've done X, Y, and Z. And it's hard. If you've been molested as a little boy and the Lord says to you, go and forgive that person. Yeah, I'll do it when I see repentance from his side. And then God says, give, and then we give when it's convenient to us. God says, give yourself to this measure, and it's like, yes, I'll do it within my boundaries. So yes, I am responding within a certain boundary. And then he says, go cut off sin, be holy, as I am holy. And then we stay close to the cliff. You know, when I struggle with my anger, you can ask Joe. Joe has most probably taken his wife. He's most probably been on sabbatical this year. You've taken your wife to Mauritius, everything, because you've got time on your hands. Because I went to Zim. Because, man, I was on Joe's case every day. Because of my anger problem, I was so afraid that I'm too close to the cliff. So as soon as I just start feeling something in my heart, I'll phone Joe. And then later on, Joe's like, bro, you did nothing. You can stop phoning me. But it's like, Joe, I'm just afraid that I do something. It's like, no, but you're recognizing it now. But there was a thing of, because I knew my sin, I was very careful not to go close to the cliff anymore. But often we'll repent of certain things, and then we do we'll do a little bit. We'll do that in a lesser way. Does that make sense? So we had this one guy in Zim that came to me, and this oak is a party animal. Oh my hat, when there's a party, he's there. He's the life of the party. If you, with all the urine function, everyone invites this oak, because when you invite him, the lights go on, everyone starts dancing, and it gets crazy. But he confesses that he's a Christian. So I invited him over to come and braai at my house on a Friday. I said, my friend, come, let's sit around the fire. And he said, one of his first things that he said to me is, Anton, why do you worry so much? We're all going to heaven. So I said to him, can I read you a scripture, my friend? I just want to read you something. I really feel. So I said, Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. This is how scary this is. This scripture was written to the church. This was not written to unbelievers. Listen to this. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. Sorry if you don't have it. Can I just jump in? Yeah, these guys are amazing. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Okay. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, adultery, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger. Now this oak is starting to look at me like this. Like, why am I reading the scripture to him? Outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Now this oak is uncomfortable. He's sitting like almost off his chair. And other sins like these. And then I read to him, my friend, you just said that you're going to heaven, but I'm talking about the fruit in your life now. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. We can't obey partially and think it's okay and try to justify our actions. God doesn't want reduced sin. He wants surrendered hearts. Totally surrendered before him. That's our obedience. And then God says, speak the truth. And we often try to avoid the truth. You know how many coffees I've sat in? And then I thought, then this oak is sharing his heart and he's blaming this other guy. And I'm just seeing everything in this guy's life. And I'm thinking like, Lord, why did you send him to me? Can't you send him to someone else? Because I'm about to put a spanner in the works here. And then while he's sharing, I say to him, can I just love you, brother? Can I encourage you with something? Yeah, yes. And then I say, there's sin in your life, my bro. That's why you're feeling all these things. It's actually you're unsatisfied with yourself because you're trying to find your joy in the world, but you can't. Now you're unhappy with all these people because your joy can only be found in Jesus. But I could have avoided it and said, oh, shame. You know how many coffees I've been with elders in this congregation that it felt like they gave me a proper club in that coffee. Yes. Oh, there's no compassion. Yeah. Look at me now. Thank you, Lord. They clapped me. No, but it's been good to receive the truth because that sets us free. And often we avoid it. That's disobedience. That's actually not love. The love that Jesus modeled to us. And I just want to end off with this. Then after King Saul justified himself, this was Samuel's reply to him. I just need to find the scripture quickly. 1 Samuel 15, from verse 22. What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. You know, often, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you that we have an advocate in heaven that's fighting on our behalf, that's standing in the gap for us, for all the times that we miss it. You know, when you miss it, when you obey, I believe God has so much grace for that. But we can't become complacent in our faith and believe that this is the way to go forward. Whenever we gather together as saints, come with an expectancy that God can use each and every person. That we are a body of believers. That we are a priesthood of believers. That's gathering together for the sake of his kingdom. Obeying his voice. And not obeying partially. Or just giving aside that we can do because of our gifting. You know, we were hiding behind our gift as worship leaders for so many years. There was times where people didn't even know the sin in our lives. But we led worship at gatherings and 412 and we did all those things. But man, we missed it. We completely missed it. Until the Lord stripped everything away. And now we see it. So I just want to encourage you guys with this morning. Obey the Lord fully. We need to respond to Jesus with a fully surrendered heart, and obey God fully.